T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And away we go with our number 3 of the Rob Brown Radio Program. Right here on the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great with Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the show on the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas Fan Phone, FANFONE. That's 844-326-3663. You may text us on the text line at 71307, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N. We'll read them on the air. Great with Lonzo on the ones and twos. I am Rob Brown. Spectacular to have you as always. I want to address this. Great one. We had a texter who hit us up on the text line at 71307. Start your text with FAN. Again, we'll read them. Who said, and I quote, Carolina's made zero effort to reload pass catchers since their last three decent ones, Steve Smith, Kelvin Benjamin, and Greg Olsen. I don't see them changing their ways, end quote. And I'm kind of back and forth on that because on one hand, I don't necessarily know that that is true. Adam Thielen is not bad. I want you to know Adam Thielen had a productive year last year out of position. That's a slot guy that they placed at the one spot. He was, by definition, out of position and yet still had an effective year. They went with Terrace Marshall Jr. out of LSU. Was it a speculative pick? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he definitely hasn't panned out.
Not at all.
And some would say because he hasn't been used right, but, you know, he's had many different quarterbacks to try with.
I don't think you're wrong about TMJ. I will also say that, yes, I believe what you said, which is, no, dude has not been used right. TMJ is a red zone, jump ball, throw it up, 50-50 ball guy.
No, I think he's a waste of a spot.
All right. You are, nobody is going to nail every pick. Some guys just aren't going to pan out. Did you feel that way before he, like when he got drafted? Were you like, oh, bum pick?
Well, I didn't get it. I definitely didn't get it.
I did.
And there was hype. And I remember you were the one hyping.
Yeah. 100%. I'm not going to walk off of it. I'll own it.
Well, Shane says on the stream that he did also.
Yeah. I think, for the record, I think a lot of people did. I know Rashad did too. Rashad hyped this pick when it happened. Again, to me, this is a cat that has got to be utilized more to the skill set that he has. I think the biggest problem I have had with both Matt Rhule and Frank Reich since I got here is both of those guys tried to force players into their offense instead of tailoring their offense to meet their players. So when you say, Texter, they've made zero effort to reload pass catchers, and I don't see them changing their ways. I will acknowledge,
they haven't had a star compared to the ones that he threw out there.
I don't disagree, but like, can we not act like that's an easy thing? Like, oh, just find a star. It's not that easy. It's not that easy. If it was, every team would have them. I agree you haven't had the star. You are completely right. In fact, the closest thing you've got to a star is an aging Adam Thielen, who played the role of number one last year. My dude's 33 years old. Now, I'm 39 years old. So, yes, he's dramatically younger than me. You know what else that I am not, though? An NFL wide receiver. But you bring in Adam Thielen, and how did he get used by the Panthers? As a one. As a one.
No. Who should have been the one?
They didn't have one.
Okay.
They didn't have one.
So they used their best guy where they needed to use him.
Oh, listen. For the roster they had, it was about as good as they could do. But to me, and this is why Fitterer had to go as well, the roster building was atrocious. That's why Adam Thielen was your one. Because the roster building was awful. And that's a problem. I think in the perfect world, Diontae Johnson is a true one. He is a true one. Now, it's not just TMJ. I want you to know, and this guy I have not given up on because I think there's a world of potential in Jonathan Mingo. I'm not giving up on this guy either. 6'2", 220 out of Ole Miss. Second round pick at pick 39 last year, or what, 2 years ago? 2020? No, yeah, last year, 2023. 43 targets, 85 targets, 43 catches, 418 yards, no touchdowns, one fumble. Not a great stat line out of the gate. But I'm going to go with when you have to play Adam Thielen as your one, because he's the best you got. Because when John Mingo came in, he wasn't that's a great breakout one. That's a two wide receiver to me. That's a wide receiver. I need a one. It's John Mingo two, Adam Thielen in the slot, TMJ when you go four wide or more. I still believe that guy, John Mingo, can be a stud as a two. That, to me, is why they've got to go with a one. But to me, what kind of triggered me a little bit about this text, I think, if you will pardon the woke word there, was, quote, don't see them changing their ways. I heard the term this weekend, great one, professional fan, said about this industry. And you and I have had this conversation before. When I'm behind a mic, I don't consider myself a fan. I consider myself an analyst. I consider myself a deliverer of the take. I don't think that I'm a fan. However, I will acknowledge that when it comes to optimism about the future, I am a professional fan. I don't want this team to be good. I need this team to be good. I need this team to be good so I can make more money. I'm a big fan of that. I would like that to happen more often, to be honest with you. So I think I probably am guilty here, like it or not. I think I am probably guilty of taking the silver lining in this. But with that on the table, since the takeover of Dan Morgan as the GM, since the takeover of Dave Canellis as the head coach, great one, perhaps I am a professional fan here. Perhaps I'm grasping at silver linings, hoping that they exist. Is there not a bit of a different vibe around this team after Dan? Primarily Dan Morgan. I'm not even going to say Dave Canellis because I think, as Rashad loves to say, we got to see what this team looks like on the field before we pass judgment on that guy. But since Dan Morgan took over from the introductory conference where he, to me, fired a shot at the locker room by saying, I don't care who's on this team. We just got to make sure we got dogs in that locker room. I feel like this team's got a different vibe.
It's reminiscent, and even though this is recent, of Detroit in a way, isn't it? Don't you get that kind of feel?
That's very fair.
And you're hoping that the Panthers are able to do what Detroit was able to do last year and what they've done the last couple years under this coach and been able to start to build towards something really good. The Panthers just have that kind of – they're going to be gritty. They're going to be what they used to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
We will see if it translates to the field, but when your GM has those eyes and acts like that and says all the things that he's saying, I try not to be optimistic. Rashad and I both have talked about this. I'm trying not to be optimistic, but the closer the season gets, I don't think you can fight it entirely.
It's hard for me to. And again, I am.
And also, the closer the season gets, the closer the draft gets, which is just a few days away. And, you know, which is a new beginning for so many people and so many teams. You think, this is it, this is the year. Oh, yes, my team, they picked the right guys. We're on our way.
Look, until week one, everybody's undefeated, baby. We all got the same record, right? I think that, and I will attribute this to Dan Morgan. When Dan Campbell showed up in Detroit, great, when you remember when Campbell showed up in New York and in his introductory press conference, speaking of introductory press conferences, Dan Campbell said, we're going to be a bunch of kneecap biters. And we were all like, what a dork, dude. What a weirdo.
I don't know. He has an intensity in his face when he said that. I was like, oh, yeah. If you say so. I never got that. That's a guy I don't want to mess with.
When he said that, I'll just make it about me. When Dan Campbell said, we're going to be a bunch of kneecap biters, I was like, all right, dork. Cool, man. That's fun. Then something happened in the Big D, and this time I mean Detroit. Something happened where this team, these Detroit Lions, kind of adopted that, kind of became their personality. They became an extension of the personality of Dan Campbell. And last year, they just went out and won the division. Now, much like the Carolina Panthers, I would argue, it was a good division. Like, it wasn't great. Minnesota was okay. Green Bay kind of started finding their way late in the year and became a playoff team that went to the Big D, and I do mean Dallas, and knocked off Jarrah's boys. It was an okay, Chicago sucked. It was an okay division, and Detroit won it. And I think a lot of that had to do with the grit they took. I
definitely
wonder.
Gritty though. They've taken on the personality of their coach. They won with a quarterback who's been discarded. I mean, there's just so many things. Scrappy.
Scrappy is a good word. And I think if Carolina is going to come out of the cellar, they're going to have to be that. Now, my question is going to be, and I think it's a fair one, can you adopt the personality of a general manager? Because here's what I will say about Dave Canales. I have watched his interviews, including the one he did at the Combine. I loved it, by the way. Lonzo and I had a discussion about this, in case you don't remember that. He was at the Combine, and he went on NFL Net, and they were asking him questions about the team. And I thought his answers were phenomenal for a head coach. He didn't do what most coaches do and lean on the coach speak to not say anything. Like, he was actually talking about, they said, what's your plan to develop Bryce Young? And he actually answered the question. He said, well, it's twofold. Number one, we got to break Bryce down to his core elements, to his fundamentals, to his footwork, to his arm strength, to his vision. We got to see what he's the best at. We got to see what he's not the best at. We got to develop what he's not the best at. But more importantly, we've got to cater the offense to what he is the best at. Now, I will acknowledge that a part of the reason that I loved that out of Dave Kanellis is because I felt like Matt Rhule and Frank Reich did the exact opposite with all the guys that played quarterback through their tenures. They're like, this is my offense. This is what you do. That's not what the best coaches do. The best coaches go, here's the building blocks of my offense. This is what the offense runs like, but if you're a little better at this category, we'll bump up the amount of that we do. And if you're not so great at this category, then we'll decrease the amount of that we do. In order to create an overall offense tailored to the players, to me, neither Rhule nor Frank Reich did that. The fact that Kanellis jumped on the mic and went, yo, look, if BY's really good at this thing, we're going to build the team to be better at that. If he's really bad at this thing, we're going to work on making him better while at the same time limiting the number of times in a game that we ask him to do that. I thought it was great. But I will also say this. Dave Kanellis does not strike me as a guy that has a tremendous amount of rah-rah, shish-boom-bah energy. I'm not saying you have to have that to thrive. I'm saying he's kind of the counter opposite to Dan Morgan, who got up on that stage on the very first day he was introduced as the GM. And like I said, I think fired a warning shot directly at the team. Either you a dog or you gone. And that's all there is to it. You're either him, you're either here, or you're not. So, I, again, if I'm looking for the silver linings, as we're just a couple of days from draft day number one, if I'm looking for the silver lining here, the silver lining for me is going to be this. If you're a player who wants that gritty, hard nose, in the dirt, cowboy collar style football philosophy, Dan Morgan's right there. If you're the kind of football player that looks at this and goes, it's a cerebral game, you can't let your emotions get the better of you, you got to stay composed, keep your chi centered, Dave Kanellis is your guy. And that would scare me, great one, if you got philosophy A that's way over here in your GM and philosophy B that's way over here in your head coach. That would scare me, except for these two dudes have been in lockstep with each other since they showed up. Like, I think they both see how important it is to be on the same page, which makes me feel like the plan on draft day, whatever it ends up being, if nothing else, whether we like it or not, hate it or not, agree with it or not, disagree with it or not, no matter what the case is, I know that it is a unified front from the team in that decision, and I need that before we ever look at a football. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
John Blau of the Post and Courier is going to join us in the next segment. We'll talk some Clemson baseball with him, as well as go back with a couple of weeks now to think about it, spin it around in the old noodle a couple of times to talk a little bit about the Clemson spring game. That's coming up next. If you got any questions for John Blau, you can text them in right now to 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, or you can tweet them to me at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show, if you'd like to go in that direction. If you got any questions for John Blau about Clemson sports, I'm happy to hear them.
Any Clemson players' perspective going in the draft?
We can ask him about that. Certainly can. We'll talk about that. Don't really hear about much Clemson draft talk right now.
No.
So we'll talk about that.
And is that a sign that the team hasn't been doing well, that there are no standout players that you're waiting to see where they're going in the NFL?
That's a fair question. We'll talk about that with John Blau in the next segment of the show. In the meantime, got a few other things. Texture, by the way, about the Panthers says, quote, hope you guys are right. Well, that's what we do. That's what we do. Real quick, I wanted to do this. And we won't spend a ton of time on it because we do have John Blau coming up next, so we gotta be on time. Good Lord, look at the Funko Pop collection of art Robert Griffin III.
Yeah.
An entire damn wall, dude.
Yeah. You know, I have that many.
You have that many? Spread across multiple locations?
Yeah, because I have them out of the boxes, there's a lot more in the office than you think.
You do take them out of the box. RG3's an in-the-box guy.
Yeah, and they're mine are tiered.
Yeah.
Also.
RG3's got an entire wall. That's impressive. That's impressive. All right. Real quick, well, shout out.
Are you shocked, though? I mean, come on. We can't see what they are of, although I think I see some Grogu's because I see some green back there.
Oh, it might be I thought he had like one shelf of Hulks is what it looked like to me.
You could.
Lyon McKinnon is very good at soccer. The Greenville Triumph yesterday on the road, 3-0 victory over Tormenta. By the way, Lyon McKinnon on the show last week. The Rob Brown Show bump is real.
I was wondering if you were noticing that. Yeah.
Yeah. The Rob Brown Show bump is real. Tyler Pollock had a very good game last night, too. Of course, the defender not going to show up on the stat sheet very often. But Lyon McKinnon was on the show a week and a half ago, and dude lit up the scoreboard yesterday. Scored his third brace of the year. That's two goals for those of you who don't speak soccer. Phenomenal, phenomenal game. First clear scoring chance came from the boys out of South Georgia. Gunther Rankenberg, or Lonzo, as we have taken him into the supporter section, the net general.
Nice.
I have two things going.
He get it, though?
I don't know. Okay. But we're doing it anyway.
All right.
Myself, and there's like five of us that are wrestling buddies that stand in the front row, we've all, every time he makes a save, taken to doing the thing.
The Imperium thing.
Doing the thing.
What I just did counts, too. By the way,
1-1.
So, 1-1.
It's Monday. We usually get a slip on Monday. We have also started every 5 minutes on the clock. So 5, 10, 15 through the entire game. Every time a 5 minute mark hits, it's GVL. Yeah. And we've gotten a solid chunk of this, fans. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, fans.
It's those, Monday,
those
dude.
Guys.
Yeah. Doing it with us, and it's great. Anyway, Lyon McKinnon was a stud. I'm going to tell you right now, if you have not, go watch this guy play because I'm calling the shot. He's not going to be a USL League One player forever. Like, he is not going to be a USL League One guy for a very long time. He's too good. We are lucky to have that cat in Greenville. So congrats to the Triumph for getting back to their winning ways. Last night, I watched maybe the best hockey game I've seen in person in a very long time as the Greenville Swamp Rabbits unfortunately fall in a sudden death. Sudden death overtime hockey might be the best thing in sports, and I mean that.
By the way, people on the stream want to know about your shirt. It just happens to be a Swamp Rabbits shirt. It's
playoff merch!
Dude, it's a wicked shirt. It's a great shirt.
Playoff merch, baby. It's the best. And you know what else I appreciate more than that out of the Greenville Swamp Rapids? It's not just that they are your ECHL South Division champions. It's not just that they are holding the series at home. It's not just that every series down to the bitter end will be hosted by GVL. Yeah, it's that they rolled out the playoff merch. Some very dope logos on some shirts. Lonzo, they also put this logo on a hoodie. So you can go ahead and get yourself set up for the cold weather. But more importantly than that, not only did they roll out the new t-shirts and hoodies for the playoffs, they gave us hats and the hats matched the shirts. You know how much I appreciate that? You know how many teams fail to put out matching shirt hat merch, even if it does according to the stream? If you want to watch the stream, facebook.com/thefanupstate, twitter.com/thefanupstate, thefanupstate, or the Rob Brown Show on YouTube and the Rob Brown Show on Twitch. Even if it does make me look like, and I quote, the heel version of John Cena with the matching shirt and hat, I'm just missing the jorts. The fact that a team...
They didn't know that.
I'm pretty close. I did wear the blue jeans. The fact that they gave us a matching shirt hat combo is appreciated beyond belief. Do you know how many teams, they roll out great hats, they roll out great shirts, but they don't roll out a great hat shirt combo? So you gotta pick one to I'm a hat guy. If you've watched any of my live streams from the Bro Cave at the Casa de Love, you're aware of this. You see the hats lining the back wall. Here's the fun fact about the Rob Brown Show Bro Cave. The hats line all four walls of that room. The entire room has hats in a line. I'm a hat guy. It drives me nuts how infrequently teams put out a good hat-shirt combo. And the Bits did it, and I appreciate it. I appreciate it immensely. Now, there's one more thing I would appreciate, which is go win the damn Kelly Cup. Bring some hardware back. It's been 2 years since we had a pro sports championship here. That's not true. The Drive did it last year. I lied.
Have you seen a Kelly Cup before? Is it kind of like the Stanley Cup?
It's not as tall.
Does it, are things done with it? Like, what's done with the Stanley Cup?
Now,
I'm just wondering if we're going to get some pictures after the Swamp Rabbits win this thing of you chugging something out of the Kelly Cup.
I want you to know. So for those of you that don't know, as one of the 36 jobs that Lonzo claims that I have, and he's not far off, one of them is I am the in-arena announcer, the in-arena host for the Swamp Rabbits. I'm just the hype guy. I'm the Flava Flav of Greenville is what I am, and I'm good with it. We were talking last night, and I said, I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know if it's going to take like a really good convincing argument for me or if it's going to take theft. If the Bits get a championship, I'm getting a ring, okay? I'm getting a ring. But I might be willing to trade that ring, great one, for one day with the Kelly Cup, right? I will Stanley Cup treatment. It'll be on the show with me. It'll be at multiple bars around the upstate, and I will drink a variety of liquids out of it. I can't wait. But the Bits are in a hole. The Bits are in a hole because they dropped one in sudden death OT last night to the Orlando Solar Bears. Phenomenal game. 75 minutes of A-class hockey. And they blinked. It happens. It's playoff hockey. It's my favorite thing about playoff. I've said this before. I think playoff hockey is the second best postseason in sports. And you can pick your level. We'll say NHL. But I think that extends downwards. I think playoff hockey is the second best postseason in sports. You know what the best postseason in sports is? College baseball. College baseball has the best postseason in sports. Hockey's number two. And that was on full display last night with the Solar Bears getting it done. A 1-0 win over the Greenville Swamp Rabbits in one of the better hockey games that I have seen in person, maybe all time. maybe all time. If you weren't there, come out tonight, man. It's gonna be spectacular. Gonna be spectacular. All right, let's take a break. When we come back here in just a moment from right now, John Blau covers Clemson Athletics for the Post and Courier. We will ask him that question. Which Clemson players does he believe are likely to have their name called during the NFL draft this weekend? We will talk a little baseball, because Clemson had a couple of spots where they accidentally pumped the brakes. Did they get back to the right side of the win column this weekend? All that and more with John Blau of the Post and Courier next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob and Lonzo, and pleased to be joined now, as we are at this time every Monday morning. He covers Clemson Athletics for the Post and Courier. He is John Blau, joining us now on the program. John, happy Monday, big dog. How we doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, Rob?
Real good, man. Real good. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. As always, big dog. I want to get into this. We were talking a little bit of NFL draft earlier in the show. Wanted to get your thoughts. Which Clemson Tigers, if any, that have entered the draft, do you expect that we will hear their name called this year? Because I was looking through the list of players, and it's a little thin on the offensive line. There are some guys that had the option that decided to stay back and play, and I think that's good news. But are there any guys that you think we might hear their name called during the draft this weekend?
Oh, yeah, about a half dozen guys. I mean, obviously, Nate Wiggins at corner is projected as a first-round pick. Or early second. I think you'll hear his name first. Rook Arororo at defensive tackle. He's a guy that's got all the measurables that NFL teams love. Everybody's been talking about him as a potential day two pick. Then you go down the board, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., the linebacker, obviously incredibly productive during his Clemson career. Just the questions about measurables and how he actually fits in the NFL are there. So probably more like a third round pick. And then Will Shipley, Xavier Thomas, Tyler Davis, all those guys have a chance to be picked in the later rounds. I think Xavier Thomas in particular has had some really good workouts, showed he's got a lot of speed off that edge. So I think he's kind of solidified himself as a guy that's in the draft. Tyler Davis, incredibly technically sound. Will Shipley, obviously productive, ran that 4.39 40 at his pro day at Clemson. So I think all those guys got a chance to be drafted. So it should be a somewhat, active year for Clemson guys. Definitely better than a couple years ago when it was really thin.
What do you think about Will Shipley at the next level? Like, obviously, the thing that I think he brings the most to the table is the intangible of just being a gut out everyone kind of runner. I was at that game two seasons ago when Florida State came to town, and to me, Shipley put that team on his back and carried them over the finish line to a win. 5'11", 206, he's kind of built like Christian McCaffrey. Not saying that's the skill type he's going to be in. What kind of offense do you think he could fit in at the next level?
Yeah, do not give me the Christian McCaffrey comparison. I hate that comparison. but he is a very good running back. They're different runners. You know, like Christian McCaffrey is just an alien in terms of the way he can stop and start and just the absolute athlete he is. But Will Shipley is great, at just accelerating towards the hole, finding the cutback lane, and just a gritty runner. He's more gritty than explosive, I would say, even. Just in terms of, like, he's gonna hit the hole, he's going to hit a defender at 3 yards out, and he's going to churn out 4 or 5 just because he just plays with so much intensity. He obviously is great in terms of his versatility, catching the ball, he's got great hands. And so he's a guy that I think at the next level, obviously with running back, it's always – fit in terms of the team. If he's behind a really good offensive line, I think Shipley, as much as any running back in college football or any guy, most of the guys in the NFL can pick up yards and be a very productive back. It's just all about fit. And yeah, he gets compared a lot to Christian McCaffrey because, you know, Christian McCaffrey was with the Panthers when he was coming up in North Carolina. They both can catch the ball. I think there's other reasons why that comparison happens, which I don't like. But I definitely think Will Shipley is a guy that has the talent to be an NFL running back. It's just about, again, finding the right team, a team that values you. And the running back position is just it's notorious now in terms of NFL teams just not prioritizing it because they feel like they can just find so many. But I think Shipley is for sure one of those that they can take and can give them good carries for as many years as he can kind of carve out that niche.
Couple more guys I want to ask you that, and we'll shift the conversation over to baseball. John Blau from the Post and Courier covers Clemson Athletics here on the Rob Brown Show every Monday at 8:40. One of them is Tyler Davis, a 300-pound defensive tackle, who at 300 pounds in the NFL, like 300 is almost a little bit undersized. Can this guy translate to the next level as a defensive tackle? Do you think he's more of like a 4-3 guy that would be kind of a secondary tackle? Where do you think he fits in?
Yeah, I think he's more of a 4-3 defensive tackle, gap penetrating type guy. I mean, he's a guy that when you watch the tape, he does a lot of things that don't necessarily, like when you're watching the game, he's not in the backfield every single play for a tackle for loss. You know, not a big overpowering guy, but he does everything right in terms of being in the right spot, eating up blockers so his linebackers can get behind him and make a play. You know, in terms of just his IQ, like I just remember a play a couple years ago against Wake Forest where A.T. Perry, the wide receiver, you know, takes a wide receiver screen. I mean, Tyler sees it immediately and he just hustles. I mean, just busts it for about 30 yards and actually closes the gap with a wide receiver, a guy he should not be running with, and almost makes the play. I mean, it was an incredible piece of tape, and he's on there. You know, the Clemson coaches and the staffers there will tell you that Tyler Davis is on their hustle tape every single week just because he plays absolutely with 100% energy, effort, and just amazing technique, though, too. Just a very smart player who knows how to play the game. So NFL teams are going to watch the film. They're going to see how technically sound he is. He might not be, again, first, second, third, maybe even fourth-round pick, but somebody's going to fall in love with him. They're going to take him maybe in the fourth or the fifth or the sixth round, and he might play in the NFL for a really long time. So I think Tyler Davis has got a real shot to be a pro player.
One more guy in specific I want to ask about. This dude is both a friend of the show. We have had him on before. I love my conversation with him, but I also loved him at the position he played in. And I think he's probably a prospect pick, but I think he's got potential to develop well, and that's Will Putnam at the center spot. 6'4", just a few pounds over 300, might need to gain some LBs to anchor a line, but he feels to me like a guy who could be a very good prospect at the next level.
Yeah, and absolutely has versatility. I mean, obviously played guard the first couple of years at Clemson, shifted to center. It took a little bit, obviously, to transition to figure out that position. It seemed like he really did as a senior, though. And I think he dropped some weight for his pro day. I mean, I think he's playing more around 320 pounds. He's closer to 300 now. Offensive line, obviously, in the NFL, different teams have different preferences in terms of how big they want you to be, how athletic they want you to be, whether it's zone blocking or man blocking and stuff like that. And I think Will Putnam can play both styles. And so, yeah, he's been a very, very good player at Clemson. I could absolutely see him either getting a late round selection or definitely being in a camp and making a team as an undrafted. Has all the intangibles. I know you talked about having him on your show, but you know, a guy whose dad is a special forces soldier. He grew up as like in garage gyms doing all kinds of crazy exercises. His dad had him going up and down the driveway with concrete in buckets, up and down. Just a tough guy, and so a guy that absolutely NFL teams will love from an intangible standpoint. And I think he can play the game too.
Let's switch the conversation over to baseball here for a few minutes with John Blau. He reports on the Clemson Tigers for the Post and Courier joins us every Monday at 8:40. This series against Pittsburgh this weekend, Clemson took the first one, trailed 4-0, came back to win 6-4, but then dropped both games of a doubleheader to lose the series to Pittsburgh 1-2. Talk to me a little bit about what went wrong on day number two for Clemson baseball.
Need to correct you. They actually did win one of the two. So they actually won the series. It was 2-3.
Oh, yep, you're right. Nope, I got the score backwards because I'm an idiot, John Blau. Welcome to my life. It's Monday. I've been up since 3 a.m.
It's okay. I forgive you. But, yeah, so it was, though, a little, if alarming, that they got behind in the first game to Pittsburgh. This is a team that was 4-14 in ACC play. To get behind and to lose the second game the way they did, that is a little concerning. But again, they've kind of been in a little bit of dip here, a little bit of a dip. Clemson baseball, they started off absolutely hot, 28-3. You just can't sustain that for an entire college baseball season. So in a way, it's better to have the slump in the middle of the season than the end. They do have some injury issues they have to overcome. Will Taylor has a fractured wrist. He's going to be out for about a month. So they were without him for this series. Tristan Smith came back from an ankle injury at pitcher, but he just wasn't quite right yet. He's still kind of settling in to things. And so that wasn't, that didn't really help. That kind of put them a little bit in a hole. They had an error out in left field, though, that kind of messed things up for him, too. So, getting the pieces to kind of fit together, shifting some of them around because all the injuries. Andrew Chufo, the shortstop's out now. That's part of it. Getting the pitching settled back in with Tristan Smith. Once you do, you feel like you have a really good rotation with him and Darden and Aiden Knock. But the hitting just isn't quite to the level it was before. But again, it's baseball. You're gonna have periods of the season where you're not playing as well as you were before. And again, better to be kind of slumping a little bit in the middle of the season than the very end when you want to get hot. For the postseason.
Looking up at the wins and losses as of late, it feels like every time there's a W in the column, you're looking at 7, 8, 9 plus runs. And more often than not, when you look at L's, it's accompanied by a 0 or a 1 or a 2. Can you put your finger on if this offense is up and down the way the score lines indicate? And if so, what might be triggering that?
Yeah, some of their better players, again, Will Taylor, obviously, out for a while. That hurts. But Cam Cantarella obviously started the season absolutely red hot. He's been a little up and down over the last couple of weeks. Obviously, that's their best player, the leadoff hitter. Whether he's, batting to the level he can, affects things. Some of the guys down the lineup, Jacob Hinderleiter's had some ups and downs. He's been, again, the guy that's kind of shifted the shortstop because Andrew Chufo's not there. I think he's had a lot on his plate. He's trying to kind of get in the swing of things there. So there's just, situations where they're just kind of not, getting all of their guys hitting at the same time. It also, for some reason, I don't know why, but it's just been them all season as they just seem to get behind. They'll get behind 4-0, 5-0. Won't score a run until the sixth or seventh inning, and they just explode. There's just been a couple times here lately where they just haven't really gotten going at all, or the Pittsburgh game below, getting behind 8-0, and then it's like the eighth and ninth they get 4 runs, and they just didn't get hot soon enough. So it's something about early in games, just not always getting started as quickly as they need to. Some of it's, again, just a couple of hitters here and there, not really kind of playing to the level that they could potentially play to. They're still scoring runs in most games, winning most games. You just got to get more consistent with it.
John Blau covers Clemson Athletics for the Post and Courier. He joins us every Monday at 8:40 in the morning. John, I appreciate it, big dog. We will talk to you next week, man. Thank you very much as always.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Rob.
You got it. John Blau, Post and Courier. You can follow him on Twitter at John_Blau, B-L-A-U, John_Blau on Twitter. We got to run to a break. When we come back, it is the final hour of a Monday morning, and we got plenty more we got to get to. We got some NASCAR as the boys spun circles at Talladega yesterday. We'll talk a little Atlanta Braves. They take 2 out of 3 against the reigning, defending, undisputed World Series champs. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're lucky, I may or may not be willing to treat you to the conversation you've all been waiting for, a little Stanley Cup playoff hockey.
I have a quick question since John Blau was just on. Will Shipley, would you be okay with having him as a Saint?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I would, and I'll tell you why. Because as much as I don't like it, as much as it bothers me, Alvin Kamara's slowing down, right? Like, he's been plagued by injuries the last couple of seasons. He doesn't seem to have that same explosiveness that he used to have. You remember for a while there, and Panther fans will remember, there was a period of time where it felt like Alvin Kamara was good for a 20-25-yard run every single game, and those just aren't happening. Now, I'm really kind of hoping that's just because Dennis Allen and Pete Carmichael sucked at their jobs, but I gotta live with the possibility that it might just be because of the fact that he's got some years under his belt at this point. He is 28, so he is closer to that 30-year of age shelf that pretty much all running backs go on. I'm not saying Shipley would take over and replace Alvin Kamara. He'd be a nice way to give him a rest, give him a spell here and there. What just happened that you just lost your mind about?
It's something that Diesel did, and it's on X.
Just making sure.
And he's responded to something that someone was talking about Danielson, obviously talking about Bryan Danielson, and because he hates wrestling, and I just don't know if this was intentional or not.
That's a good tweet.
That's a good tweet. Yeah, but is that intentional? I mean, if he knew it was a wrestling thing that he never would have responded. You know he wouldn't have. That's what makes it funny to me. Because he hates wrestling with all his being. If he realized who this guy was talking about,
I feel like I can win him over.
He never would have did that. That makes it funnier.
You're not wrong.
I know it's inside, but it's not really. His disdain for wrestling is well known. So,
all right. That's funny. Ladies and gentlemen, take off your comedy caps. Put on your very serious caps. Because the Dan Rather of sports flashes is here. It's the great one, Lonzo.
Courage? Lamont Paris has added a big name, literally former 4-star recruit and 7-foot tall, and you can't teach that. Jordan Butler announced yesterday he'll be a Gamecock next year. Butler played for Christchurch and returns home after 1 year at Mizzou. The big man played 31 games with 14 starts for the Tigers. The Braves' 6-game win streak came to an end last night as the Rangers knocked off Atlanta 6-4. Darius Vines was credited for the loss after giving up 7 hits and 2 home runs in 5 innings. Designated hitter Marcell Ozuna hit his MLB-leading 9th homer of the year. Join Wire to Wire this Thursday as Cole Bryson and Diesel broadcast live from Dave & Buster's in Greenville. Come out and hang with the guys as they get you ready for the first round of the NFL Draft, 3 to 7 p.m. this Thursday. It's live. It's on location. And you know what? It's Wire to Wire.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.